I think the theme that kind of goes through all three of these readings, first reading, second reading, and the gospel reading, is this sense of holiness, right? And Christ tells us right at the end of the gospel what that should look like on a practical level. Because when we say, okay, well, what does it mean to be holy? Christ really kind of says in one word what it means. He says perfection, to be perfect. Not a kind of human perfection, not a natural perfection, a supernatural perfection. He says, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Right? Christ says that. Now we have to pause right there because Christ knows exactly what he's saying when he calls us to perfection, right? When he took on our human nature, became a human being, he experienced absolutely everything it is to be a human being except for one thing, namely sin. So Christ experienced every kind of temptation. Christ experienced every kind of natural human weakness and yet didn't sin. And so keep that in mind when he himself then calls us to perfection. He knows what he's saying. He's saying, you're called to this, and yet I know what it's like to be a human being, and yet I'm calling you to that anyways. So how do we reconcile that? I think, well, for starters, what he's saying is, I know this is going to take some time. I know that it's not going to happen overnight, but I want you to try. I want you to strive for perfection. Something I always find myself telling people in confession is, look, you're not going to stop being a sinner overnight. We're all sinners. We're all going to be sinners until the day we die. We should see progress in our lives. And so long as we can honestly tell God, and it's not that, you know, he would know if we're lying or not, but so long as we can honestly tell God that, look, I am trying, that's what's important. To be able to say that I am honest to God trying to work on each and every one of my sins. And God knows whether or not we are. But that's, I think, the key to striving for perfection. I think that's what Christ was saying is, look, I know we're weak. I know you're weak. Christ says, I experienced it myself, and yet I'm calling you to perfection. And there's a big difference between those of us who try and those of us who do not try. The difference is not between who's a sinner and who's not. We're all sinners. The difference is who of us are trying and who of us are simply not trying. We need to make sure that we are trying. I'm going to come back to that in a second, but kind of related to this, a homily that I could give that I'm not going to give is the whole doctrine of purgatory, by the way. The word itself you will not find in the sacred scriptures, the word purgatory, but the idea is there. Christ is saying we have to be perfect, as your heavenly Father's perfect. We have to be perfect to get into heaven, and yet how many of us are dying in a state of perfection? And so from time immemorial, we've had this doctrine that there must be this place, and besides the fact that we're told to pray for the dead, and what use would it be to pray for the dead if they were in heaven? They wouldn't need our prayers. And what use would it be to pray for them if they're in hell because they couldn't use our prayers? There must be some place where they can be that they could benefit from our prayers. It's what we call purgatory. Again, this is the homily I'm not going to give, but there has to be this place where we can finally work on our last bits of things holding us back from perfection. And that's what we call purgatory, but that's really a function of God's mercy more so than his justice, is that God calls us to perfection, and yet he knows how weak we are. So it's important for us to just keep that in mind, that we do have that, that one last chance, thank God, for those of us who did actually try. Now again, those of us who are sinners who aren't trying, we're not even going to make it to purgatory. If we're trying, yeah, we should have a good shot at purgatory. We might spend a while there, but we should have a good shot at it. And isn't this exactly what we hear in that first reading from the book of Leviticus? The Lord is speaking to Moses, and he says, tell this to the whole Israelite community, be holy as I am holy. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Christ says in the gospel. We hear the same thing in that first reading. Be holy as I am holy. Now, my second point is this, comes right after that in that first reading. So, first point, we're all called to perfection. What does that mean? It means to make sure that we're trying. Second point, what does the Lord say to Moses? Tell the Israelites, you shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart. Though you may have to reprove your fellow citizen, do not incur sin because of him. So we're told that there are times where we will need to call other people to holiness. And of course, we all know how difficult that is, especially in a society such as ours. God forbid you ever have to call someone out. And God forbid that it have anything to do with religion or ethics or morals or objective evil, objective right or wrong. Because all of a sudden, what are you doing? You're judging them, right? Of course, that's not true. But there is a good way and a bad way to do it. There's a good way and a bad way to call out our brothers and sisters. It can never be a matter of, I'm better than you, I'm holier than you, you better shut up and listen up. It's, I love you. And because I love you, I want what's best for you. And what's best for you is to get to heaven one day. And because I truly love you, and therefore truly want what's best for you to get to heaven one day, I need to call you out on this. Because you're not going to get to heaven if you keep doing this. If you keep doing something you're not doing, or if you don't start doing something that you should be doing, like going to Mass on Sunday, right? So we need to be willing to do that, and the Scriptures tell us to do that, but there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. And in fact, as I preach on this, just last night, Angie Formica, right here in the second row, we were at the Spouses, what was it, the Spouses Club dinner and auction, and I was saying something kind of funny that was probably uncharitable. But I mean, it was funny, but it was probably uncharitable. And right there, she calls me out. She's like, Father, I don't think you should. I said, you're right, you probably shouldn't. Yeah, so thank you. So we need to call others out, but we need to be willing to be called out ourselves, right? And see, now I'm going to be looking for a chance to... Yeah, I'm sure I'll have plenty. So we need to be willing to call others out, right? What does our Lord say in that gospel, the beginning of the gospel? This can be kind of confusing because he says, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Might sound like a contradiction. Is our Lord saying, don't call people out? Offer no resistance to one who is evil. No, what he's saying is, and he goes on and he explains that someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other, wants to go to law with you, give him your cloak, you know, over your tunic, give him your cloak as well, press you into service for 1 mile, go two. So a very debated part of Scripture there, what exactly Christ was saying. Was he kind of being facetious? What was he saying? Some have suggested that what he was saying was basically to make a point that nothing's going to bring me down. You want to press me to service for 1 mile? Fine, I'll go two. You want to go to law with me over my tunic? I'll give you my cloak as well. You want to strike one cheek? Here, go for the other. You think it's going to stop me, right? That's kind of what Christ is getting at. That's what he means, offer no resistance to one who is evil. Meaning, be willing to go out and not to resist, not to fall into this trap of, oh, well, I don't want to do that, I'm scared. If I do it, they're going to call me judgmental, or I just really, you know, that person's my friend, I really don't want to call them out. So, no, we're called to do that. So I think that's the second point here, that not only are we called to holiness, we're called to call others to holiness. And I told you I was going to come back to that point about trying, right? We need to make sure that we're honestly working on our sins, that we're actually trying. We need to make sure that we're giving the benefit of the doubt to our brothers and sisters whom we call out, be it a spouse, be it a child, be it a parent, be it a coworker. We need to give them that same time to grow. And when we call them out on something, we can't expect them to just be perfect overnight, just as God does not expect us to become perfect overnight. God expects us to make progress. We should expect ourselves and our brothers and sisters to make progress, but we need to be willing to recognize that progress in others. This is something I find myself saying in marriage counseling often. Someone says, well, I don't think my spouse is trying. Well, maybe your spouse isn't trying. That is a valid possibility. Maybe your spouse is actually trying and is actually making some progress, and you're just not noticing it, right? So we need to be willing to notice that as well in others and to say, okay, you know what? They're not where I want them yet. And God could say the same thing about us. They're not where I want them yet. But I do have to recognize that they are improving. They are making steps in the right direction. They are working on that goal of perfection. And so I'm going to continue to call them to perfection. I'm going to continue to call myself to perfection. I'm going to continue to be willing to be called to perfection by others. But I need to recognize that there is some growth happening. And hopefully there would be. And if there's not, to call them to that. So I think that's kind of the overarching theme of these readings today, that we are called to holiness ourselves, and Christ who calls us to holiness, the Lord who calls us to holiness in the Old Testament, Christ in the Gospel, St. Paul in that second reading from his first letter to the Corinthians, he says that you are God's temple, right? You are God's temple. The Spirit of God dwells in you. That's why. That's why we are called to holiness. So that's the first point. We need to be willing to work on it ourselves, and we need to be willing to call out others lovingly, politely, properly. So let's pray for that grace today, that we may have the humility to be called out, that we may have the humility to recognize that we still have a long way to go ourselves and that God is being patient with us. But then let's also have the strength, the courage, and the true love to call out other brothers and sisters.